Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. This is a very pastoral message. I love bringing this message. Sometimes when I am asked to speak in conferences and events, it is for the purpose of like the impartation of a moment, of a miracle, of a breakthrough, of a happening right there. And it's meant to have sort of some kind of shock value, I guess, that propels people and catapults them into an entirely new lifestyle. And quite honestly, it does. It's astonishing when that happens. But as a pastor, I've got to tell you, I find that that is more the rare than the common. That is, those moments are not things that happen every day in the lives of believers. Even though they might want them to happen, God has called you to a walk. He has called you to a step after step after step kind of lifestyle. He's called you to a lifestyle that is steadfast and immovable, one that involves commitment to a long walk rather than to just an occasional jump into the air. And so tonight, I'm not really talking about leading up to an encounter and a miracle and a moment and a breakthrough. Those are all great things. I'm not putting them down. But I do not want to promote those at the expense of the development of character on a day-by-day habitual basis where incrementally you compound your life into a character that will last for eternity and look like Jesus. Amen. So this is a message that's where I'm working on making porridge taste like pavlova. Amen. But this is a lot better for you in the long run. I've known plenty of talented people who start well but don't even get past the first 100-meter mark. And so this is like the tortoise message compared to the hare. A number of years ago, I read an article about a woman who had bought the lottery every week for 50 years. And as she was buying it on the last week, she was asked by a person who was there at the counter, "How long have you been buying this?" She said, 50 years. And they did a quick little calculation on the average amount she'd spent. It would be about $20 a week. And so they averaged it out and thought about what would have happened had she invested that in a bank account earning 4%, not really an investment, just savings. On that particular day, she would be drawing the very amount that the lottery was offering her as a prize. But that wasn't guaranteed, yet the savings would have been. Albert Einstein calls compounding the eighth wonder of the world. He calls it a miracle. The most intelligent man, apparently, in secular history, says it's like a miracle. And here's the amazing news. After 2 years of investing, you don't even have to put any more money in. Just let the money itself put itself in. It's an astonishing thing. Compounding by incremental, line upon line, seemingly inconsequential moments. But you can have an incredible impact as life unwinds for you, as it unfolds for you over a long period of time. A tsunami starts with a little earthquake under the ocean that causes a ripple above it that's only 20 inches tall. It can travel thousands of miles at 500 miles an hour, 500 kilometers an hour. It travels very fast, but you can't even see it until it hits the shallow shores and brings the huge destructive waves that we've seen all on the 6 o'clock news. However, you and I can be involved in creating a tsunami that doesn't bring destruction, but brings life, liberty, and revival if we'll just drop a stone in the ocean of humanity today. Who would have believed that 32 years ago, 13 people meeting in the DY Surf Life Saving Club would 32 years later have churches in Zurich, Switzerland, that we don't even know about, that have sprung out by a ripple effect, not only in Australia, not only in the Southern Hemisphere, but all around the world. And who would have believed that that was started 2,000 years ago by a baby born in a stall, a cow stall, who only has 30 years of his life in recorded history on the pages of the Gospels, who only lived to the age of 33? Who would have believed that that stone dropped in the history of the world would have an impact 2,000 years later, right around the planet, every generation, every kind of person on the face of the planet? Don't underestimate the power of a ripple effect. Don't underestimate the power of your labor in the Lord. So I want to show you just this little graphic here of a tsunami in its beginnings. Thanks, guys. Yes, amen. We're going to cover the earth with the glory of God. That's you and me creating a tsunami that brings life, not destruction. Give the Lord a clap offering, everybody. Amen. Okay. So, it doesn't just happen on one particular day, though. There's a particular tree in China called the Chinese bamboo tree that for the first 5 years of its life will only grow 1 inch a year, no matter how much water and fertilizer you put on it. But after the fifth year, it grows 12 inches a week, I think it is, until it's 90 feet tall. Unbelievable. Growth just takes off. And some people would say that's a breakthrough. But we forget the 5 years before. Some people will talk all about the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell and it was an awesome thing. However, they had been in that room for 10 days previous to that with nothing at all happening. And it can seem like nothing much at all is happening in your world, but you are building line upon line for an enormous breakthrough that will come in your life at some stage. This scripture, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There can be times when you can think, I'm working so hard, I'm doing so much, but nothing is happening. In fact, when you start, you know, you make a commitment to the gym, and some of you have done that at the start of the year. You're saying, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. Well, let me tell you that for the first 5 months, 6 months, nothing much is going to change. You're going to go there, look in the mirror. You think, golly, unless you're like 12 years old, things are going to change. But after a while, you know, 6 months, nothing much. I looked at myself after 12 months, I've been going, nothing much change. But then after 2 years, you see a little difference. After 5 years, you see this magnificent specimen standing before you. And I mean, the calls, the, you know, please, will you be Tom's body double? And, you know, all these unbelievable requests. I said, get away. No, I'm sick of it. You know, leave me alone. The thing is, nothing much happens in the early parts of your life. And here's an interesting thing, you know. As you do a lot of work underground, you realize that when God is doing stuff in your life, he's doing all this underground work in you so that he can do the outward work that you're crying out for. We've built a lot of buildings in this movement, and I've looked at a lot of project management sheets. And they have to synchronize what goes before what in a building program. So we come up here and I see them digging this huge hole and they dig and dig and dig and it seems to take forever. And then they put pillars down into the ground, concrete pillars to hold up the slab that's going to come down. The next thing, the plumber turns up and he's putting pipes in. Next thing, the electrician is there. He's putting pipes in for electrical wires. Then the audio guys turn up and the TV people turn up and they're putting all their wires underground in the sort of hole just there. And then the steel fixers come in and they're putting fixing down, steel in there. And then the concrete pour comes in. All the plumbers and sparkies have got to get their work done before the concrete comes in. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, okay, I can understand that now. It's sort of explained, but initially, you don't understand why certain things are being done at that stage. Like, why are they painting? Because the room isn't even finished. Well, dummy, because if they put the carpet down, then they've got to cover it. And then, you know, you're better to paint and just let it splash everywhere. Then put the carpet down. And so they're smarts in all of this. And God understands in your world exactly what things need to come before another thing. I need to tell you about the best $150 I ever spent in my life. Okay, it happened this last couple of weeks, actually. Is my phone down there? Is my phone there? Can you bring it up here? I might be able to use this. I'm not sure. But anyway, little Aberdeen, our dog that we had for like 14 years, last year went to dog heaven. That's not a theological statement. It's just a way of saying he died. And I said to Chris, I'll buy another one. Buy his distant cousin, if you like. And so she said, yep. And so we bought this little dog and decided to call him Piper. And he's a little West Highlander, Scottish sort of a dog. But I said, this time, let's train him. Let's do the training thing. Because we've never done that with dogs. So we bring him in, and he's 9 weeks old. 8 weeks when we buy him, 9 weeks, and we're feeding him. Every time we go to feed him, he's going, rawr, 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 like when he sees the food. Rawr, 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 crawling up on your leg. Rawr, 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 rawr. Okay, and you're going like, and then the trainer, Chris says, I've called the trainer, she's coming around. I said, oh, great. How much? $150, that's amazing. And I thought it'll be such a waste of money. She'll come in, she'll say, oh, you got a fence here and you need a gate here, and all this kind of thing. Anyway, she turns up, Fiona. She hears the barking. Row, 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 row. She says, oh, this little thing thinks he rules the whole house, doesn't he? And Chris is going, well, he's only been here a week. Yeah, but he's figuring out who's the boss. He's a pack animal. You're his pack. You're his tribe, you know, like, so he's trying to figure out if you're the boss or he's the boss. And so he needs this training. So she says, okay, now there's one thing you got to understand. Food is pretty important to a dog like this. And if we conquer that, we'll probably get everything else under control. And so we just got to make sure that we get this one thing down. So we make up the food and the dog's like this because the food's coming. And she says, oh, this is terrible. And we're going, it's pretty normal for us. And so she puts the leash on the dog, takes the plate over, puts it down, and the dog goes prong, straight for the food bowl. And the food bowl's here, but the leash ends here. So it goes, and stops. It can see the food. It's like that far away. And then it just looks around and goes, row, 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 barking at the food, barking at us, barking at the sky, barking at, row, 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 that's my food, row, 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 row. Like, my God, this has gone terrible. We're kind of embarrassed. And she says, look, now we've started, we can't stop. We can't give in because he thinks he'll get his food if he barks long enough. So I said, well, how long does it take? This was 11 o'clock in the morning. She said, well, I've gotten to 4 o'clock this afternoon. I thought, my Lord, this is like training. This is real training. Okay. And so the dog keeps going. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. 20 minutes. The dog's getting tired. At like 25 minutes, I'm saying, surely this thing is going to give up. She's, well, we're not giving up until he gives up. So finally, at 30 minutes of this barking, and its ears are in the air, it's shaking. She says, that's no good. We want calm and quiet. So calm and quiet? Yeah. So he finally goes, he's kind of broken, you know, like you break a horse. He just sits there. So she's all right and taps the bolt and lets him over. And he goes over, looking. And then he wolfs it. He's going for it now. So she picks him up and says, you can't eat like that. That's very undignified. Amen. And brills him back. He's off again. 10 minutes more. Ears up. Finally, just sitting there. Okay, now eat. Nicely, eat slowly, not like a dog. Right. So she does that. Okay. So This is, I'll show you how he eats. Now, hang on a minute. I just got to find it in here somewhere. There it is. Okay, where's the camera? I want a camera. Bring me the camera. Yeah, yeah. I should ask you to come over sooner. Okay, because we did this just today. Because Chris says, I don't know if they'll believe you. You know, yeah. But and rather than bring the dog down, can you see that? Okay, hang on a minute. Okay, where are we? We're there? Okay. Hang on a minute. Okay. Here he is. Now I walk away. I tell him stay. I say, okay, go. Look at that, eating so nicely.
That's just
like a 12, that's like 12 weeks old, man. I'm thinking, how can you train a dog to do that? But it's crazy. Hey, you can, and then I said, I must be tough with old dogs. She said, no, old dogs just the same. This thing, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. So I'm giving you people hope out there. Amen. Now, I know you want her phone number for your children, but the thing is, you're thinking, I got kids that need that. All right. The thing is, she said, we get him on this. We get his ego managed, and he doesn't think he rules the place. You're the boss. You give him food when you want to. He eats your food when you allow him. And you don't let him, you take it away after he's eaten. You don't let him up on your bed, sitting on your pillow like he's the king of the house. You let him eat after you. All these things that send the signal, he's got to do what you tell. Otherwise, you got poo in the carpet while you're walking around the middle of the night. It's on your foot because he won't do anything you tell him to do. And you got this big nuisance instead. You got a real. Now, here's the thing. I wonder if God is waiting for you and me to get a little more calm and quiet to wait before he's going to actually release the things we really want out there while he deals with some basics in our own life. And once we get those basics under control, he's proud to display us to the rest of the world. Some of us feel embarrassed about our dogs when they just jump up on people, lick their faces, pinch their food, bite their ankles. And I'm thinking, God doesn't want to feel embarrassed about us because we jump up on people, bite their ankles, and pinch their food. I do know people like that. Maybe he is training us, and training is life changes. Training is actually changing the way you do life. I think sometimes we want a whole different life without making any changes. I want to give you four quick changes that you can make in your life in the next minute. I've got one more minute to go. Amen. And then we're going to have an altar call where you can lay your life on that altar. But I want to say these four things. Number one is church. Everybody say church. Honestly, if you can get that in your life as a basic priority, as like eating, going to work, anything that you do on a regular basis, you're just committed. You turn up. I'm not the most talented person. I just keep turning up. I've known plenty of talented people who are relying on their talent for their release in life who don't turn up. Just occasionally let their presence be felt and wonder why nobody ever recognizes them. God is looking for faithfulness, steadfastness, and immovability. He don't really care about a talent. When we say, oh, we can sing. Now, listen, I'm going to be very kind of kind and unkind here just for a second. Ryan Smith down there, one of my greatest friends in all the world, and a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful leader of our worship team. And you know, in my opinion, I mean, God bless all the other worship leaders. I just love it when Ryan's leading worship. The deal is he can't sing a note. He's pitchy. I mean, not even in a paper bag can he carry a tune. It's like, I love him with all my heart. He knows that. But I'm telling you, I've been in 1,001 meetings where there's 10 people in the room, prayer meetings, staff meetings, there's Ryan playing. And I've known all the talented people say, oh, that's not for me. That's just one of those little gigs, for goodness sake, you know. But every meeting you're in where you do not think it's having anything consequential happen or significant happening, it's building another line in your character. And line upon line, precept upon precept, you're going to build one of the greatest things in life. You know, here's a strange thing. Some people think I'm a great artist, but I'm colorblind. I can't tell greens from blues and purples half the time. I have to look on the tube and read them. That's a secret just between you and me. I only tell friends that. And some of the best worship leaders I've had in the history of this church can't hold a tune, but they know how to bring the presence of God. And it's in our weakness that God's strength is perfected. Now, I know you're all going to go up and comfort Ryan at the end of the thing and say, oh, I think you can sing marvelously and all that kind of thing. I'm just bringing you a point that you may be thinking that it's only the talented. But this guy's written more songs and recorded more albums than most anybody around this country. And being involved in so many worship items and touching the world, literally, with what he's doing. And I'm sorry to sound like, you know, but I'm trying to illustrate a point here. Don't disqualify yourself because of your lack of talent. You can make up for that incredibly well by your faithfulness, your steadfastness, and your immovability. That's what God will build his church upon. Amen. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Okay, number two, devotional. Pray and read the Bible. Make it a priority in your life. Be steadfast with it. Be immovable with it. Give God a phone call every day. I mean, you call your friends and you check out Facebook and you do all this other stuff every day. Spend 5 minutes talking to the Lord. And let him talk to you for 5 minutes in the Bible. And you say, just 5 minutes? Yes, because sometimes we pitch goals that are too big, so big that we don't even start. If you think I got to pray an hour a day, that's just like it's too much. Or read the Bible for an hour. So some people never get started because it's all like a big thing. Think small to start. And just get started. Do something that builds your spirit and starts changing your life. Just put 10 minutes in every day. You're going to find it'll grow. But let it grow organically, easily, for your spiritual stamina and strength to rise. The third one is tithing. Need to bring that tithe into the house of God. And after year after year after year, you will find the blessing starts to compound on your life. You know, I read before, they'll still bear fruit in their old age. I've discovered that I've spent a lot more time being old than being young. You're going to be older for a lot longer than you're going to be younger. You're only young for about 15 years, 10 to 25. Then it's done. You're married, got kids, mortgages, and you're old. But that youthful, whoa, party, all that sort of stuff, which seems to be like the big picture of everybody's life. No, no, it's only a little part of your life. The big part is that compounding year after year, line upon line, week upon week of incremental compounding change in your life. That's where your great success is. That's where your great breakthrough is. That's where your great character building miracle is, building a life. Not just a moment where you have something happen. I mean, if you were to watch the movies and believe it all, you'd think that everybody's life is full of incredible moments. Shootouts and jumping over walls and falling out of helicopters and bombs going off in buildings. You'd think that that's normal. It's not. Normal life is getting up in the morning, going to work. Make that exciting. If you abide in me and I in you, Jesus said, you'll have life abundantly. You won't be looking for the next thrill to get something out of life. You can take that thrill with you every second of every day. It's called Jesus on the inside of you. You don't have to go anywhere or be anywhere to actually get it. You take him with you everywhere you go. I find that to be about the most exciting singular thing in the whole Christian life. I take my entertainment center with me everywhere. I'm loving life. And that would be the beginning and ending of what God is offering every human being on the earth. He that would love life. If you want to love life, the whole of your life, The sleeping, the waking, the eating, the times when it's tough, the time when it's good, the times when you're in love, the times when you're not, everything about it. If you've got a consistent, immovable lifestyle as the foundation of your life, you're going to love it all. All of it is something to be celebrated. The last one is ministry. Number four, church. What was the second one? Devotion. What was the third one? Tithing. Last one is ministry. You've got a gift inside of you. God has put a gift in every single one of you. A beautiful, powerful gift that goes with a plan that he designed for you before you were even born. And that plan involves you exercising or using that gift. The only way that gift works is in blessing another person. It doesn't work in trying to bless yourself. It works in first trying to bless God, bless his church, and bless other people. And when you start to bless others by serving them, and you put your hand up and say, use me, Lord. Here I am upon your altar. Burn in me. A fire falls on you. You know, one of the greatest fires I've got burning in me right now is a passion for filmmakers to rise up in the kingdom. I'm not talking about giant feature films. I mean, maybe some of those will come. I'm talking about 12-second videos that have a story in them. I'm talking about graphics people who can put a story to a song when we're worshiping. And we're starting that course in our Bible college this year. I want a generation of movie makers. I believe it'll be the cutting edge right here in this church of movie making in the Christian world. And I would love to think that every week there's a new movie on that screen coming out of the students next year, this year. I'm going to sit down with the graphics guys in 2 weeks' time on a Tuesday night. I'm getting them all together. We're talking about all of that kind of stuff. And I've told Pat Ancliffe to start a curriculum. They've got it going. They've put it all together. It's ready to rock and roll. And we want filmmakers, people who know how to put I think in pictures. I think of an animation that could happen on the screen to describe what I'm talking about. Like this week, I thought about a pipe there that's bent like that and to illustrate exactly what I'm talking about now. But the water comes down, but there's a bird's nest in the middle of it, and there's blockages, and there's things, you know, so it can't get through. Or then the pipe bends over, it's all into itself, and nothing comes out. But then finally, boom, it gets a release. I mean, that's an animation. That's somebody drawing. But I've done those animations, and they take like 10 hours just for like 5 seconds. You've got to do hundreds and hundreds of drawings, 16 frames a second. And so it takes a long time. So we need a generation of people who can do that sort of stuff. As a student, we stick it up on a screen and we can illustrate exactly what we're saying all the way through all our services. We live in such a visual generation. I'm on fire about filmmakers, man, dominating out of the Christian world with so many brilliant concepts coming to birth. I saw a clip recently called Falling Plates. If you can see it, get a hold of it. It's one of the best presentations of the gospel I've ever seen. But there are thousands of things like that that we are training people for here in this college that are all over the world, from worship leaders, songwriters, singers, dancers, drama people, filmmakers, all of this. On Tuesday night after the prayer meeting, there's an information night where you can come and find out about being part of the college this year and saying we're going to be part of this army that can change the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.